Well, good morning. We continue to record a Sunday message during this highly unusual time in which we're being very diligent not to possibly infect anyone with a virus that we might not even know that we have, but that's taken so many lives worldwide and now has taken so many of our own fellow citizens. It's hard not to wait to see the brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's so very hard not to see your own family that aren't living with you, but it's best to follow the CDC guidelines and the orders of our state and local officials. It's for our own good, and it's for the good of those that we love. Today, we come back to 1 Peter again, 1 Peter chapter 3. And we looked at verse 18 last week, for Christ also, we said. Verse 19 and 20 is where we're at today. And we want to look at the long-suffering of God waited. The long-suffering of God waited. And we read those words here in verse number 20. Verse 19 and 20, the scripture says here, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Christ's resurrection was the work of the Holy Spirit, as is ours from sin, in our own salvation. When the Lord saves us, we rise to walk in newness of life. We are those who have been saved by the grace of God and been given a new life. And we were dead in trespasses and sins. We've been raised again, resurrected. And we're grateful for the great grace that's brought that about in our salvation. And that's the Holy Spirit's work within us that caused that. And as well, Christ's resurrection was, according to the scripture, he rose again. The Father raised him. The Holy Spirit was involved in his resurrection as well, as we read here in verse number 18. He was quickened by the Spirit, the Lord Jesus was, and that was his resurrection. Well, by which, verse number 19 says, by which also, by the Holy Spirit also, he went and preached. And we want to read and want to see today something more about Christian suffering, and specifically about Christian suffering as it pertains to our long suffering and waiting. And we find that the Word of God tells us that God Himself, that the Lord Jesus Himself waited, was long suffering, and He waited. And so I want to think about that and how we're to follow that example that we're given here from the Word of God as we look at our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin now. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us, the opportunity to open your Word, to think upon, Lord, the things that you've put upon our hearts, to look at the Word of God and to truly consider it. And what is it saying to us today? And may we, Lord, as your people, during this time, this difficult day in which we live, we just pray that you might give us grace, that we too might be long-suffering and wait upon you and trust you and depend upon you, Lord, in our times of need and in times of suffering. And we'll praise you and give you glory for what you do as a result. In Jesus' name, amen. The Word of God says here, by which he also went, Christ also went. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, verse 18, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. All about Christ there. By which also he, Christ, by which, by the Holy Spirit. He was quickened by the Spirit. By which Christ also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. By which also he went and preached. Now, by the Holy Spirit, Christ went and preached. And of course, what we believe, according to the Word of God here, is that that Christ Jesus himself in his pre-incarnate state through the Holy Spirit was instrumental in preaching long ago, prior to his coming into this world, prior to his being made a man. We find the Son of God was involved in the preaching that went on long ago. And now he says here, verse number 19 again, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Unto the spirits in prison. Now, be careful not to jump to the conclusion that this prison was hell. Some people believe that Jesus Christ, that in his after his death on the cross, that in order to pay for our sins, that he went down, descended down into hell, and he suffered in hell as well for our sins, and then came, and then of course he rose again. But be careful not to jump to the conclusion that this prison here was hell. If you stopped at the semicolon here in verse number 19, you might think it was, and that Jesus went to hell to preach. And as Joyce Myers and others like her teach, that he went to suffer in hell for our sins, which he did not go to do. He finished the work on the cross. But of course, there are people who add to and take scriptures like this and miss the context of what they're saying. And so I want us to think a little bit about this a little further and understand this is not something that's historically been taught, but it's something that some people do teach. And so I want to think about this in verse number 19. He went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And notice here, he gives us the definition. He tells us when this happened. And he says, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And so what we find here is he preached unto the spirits in prison. In other words, those who were in bondage, in the bondage of sin, back during the days of Noah. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were long-suffering. He says here, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. The Father, the Son, the Scripture says the long-suffering of God. We find the Father in that. And he says here that it is Christ who went and preached unto the spirits in prison, and it was the Holy Spirit through which, or by which, he went and preached, verse number 19. And so we find all three persons of the Godhead here were seen as long-suffering during this time in which men were resisting the truth of God and the message of God. Men were resisting Noah's message, the preacher of righteousness, resisting what Noah was declaring at this time, and the judgment that was to come, that Noah was declaring. Men were not believing it, and God was long-suffering, and God was waiting upon sinful men who may have and were probably mocking Noah, that were probably mocking others, mocking those that were with him. And you know, we as the Lord's people, we need to be long-suffering and waiting upon sinful men who may mock us or otherwise mistreat us. Just as they must have done unto Noah in his days. And so we find here the Word of God in its context. He's talking about how that Christ had suffered for sins. He went and suffered for our sins, being the just one, being treated totally mistreated and treated unfairly and unjustly as he suffered for our sins, but of course accomplished the wonderful accomplishment of our salvation in suffering for our sins and suffering for us and in our place. Now we see not only Christ, but the Holy Spirit and the Father, all during the days, looking back during the days of Noah, when Noah was declaring the work of God that was coming, Noah was declaring God's judgment that was going to come upon sinners, and they didn't believe it. And they were mocking, and they were reproaching Noah, and things were not going well for Noah, but God was blessing, and God's righteousness was being declared by Noah as a preacher of righteousness. But the Word of God says, hey, during that time, these folk were disobedient, and they were clearly deserving of God's wrath and God's judgment, but God waited. During the time, all that time that Noah was preparing the ark, when once, the scripture says, the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. If God is long-suffering, shouldn't we be? Whenever we're going through trouble and we're going through trials and we're going through the kinds of trials that are mistreatment of us, as the Word of God says, that we need to be those who, as verse 17 had said, it's better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. If that's so, and as Noah did so, Noah, in a sense, was mistreated and misunderstood, and he declared the truth and suffered for his well-doing, and even as the Lord God himself endured the sin and the disobedience of man during the days of Noah, he himself was long-suffering. And he himself waited, as the Word of God says. God is a long-suffering God. And God is a God that waits. He's a God with patience, with immeasurable patience, with such wonderful patience. I say measurable, maybe, but it's a deep and a wonderful patience that God displays. He is so merciful. He's merciful to all. He's good unto all. He causes the rain to come on the just and the unjust. He gives the best of blessings to people who don't deserve the blessings, just as well as he gives blessings to those who do. And none of us really do, but to those who do that which is good. So he says, while the ark was a preparing, is when this took place. The time of God's long suffering and his waiting and of Christ going and preaching by the Holy Spirit is identified here as in Noah's, or in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing. So he says, this is when it happened. This is when Christ went and preached to the spirits in prison. He did it during these days when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. Now, notice he says, then the next phrase, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The same water, think about this for a moment. The same water of judgment which destroyed the disobedient that he's referring to here. God's law was very long-suffering, and he waited. But of course, eventually, the judgment of the flood came upon this world. And because man was doing that which is right in his own eyes, but he was doing everything evil. He was doing whatever he thought was good, but whatever he thought to do, he did what he felt like doing. He was living in sin and open rebellion, open disobedience unto God. And the Word of God says, hey, there were few that were saved. Wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The water of judgment, which destroyed the disobedient, and that water of judgment, which just absolutely renovated and changed this earth. I mean, there are so many things in which, as the waters of judgment came down upon this earth, so many things were distorted. So many things were changed. And of course, in all of that, God brings forth, in a sense, a renovated earth. And we find all kinds, as the fountains of the deep were broken up, and you find all kinds of amazing scenery, all kinds of amazing things. I was looking at some of the broken rocks in the over in Missouri, and wonderful, beautiful pictures that we see in nature and in geology, where that God has just done an amazing work, and we look at it and we think of the power of God, of Almighty God, and what He's done, and we think that water, the same water of judgment which destroyed the disobedient, when seeking to sink the ark, held its occupants above the water. I mean, the water itself held the ark up, in a sense. In other words, that water, which is destroying all the inhabitants of the earth, for those who were in the ark, that water just came upon the ark. And it didn't come upon the inhabitants of the ark. It didn't come upon those eight souls. They were saved by that same water, that judgment that came upon the world is a judgment that came upon the ark that saved them, that delivered them. It's the water, the same water of judgment. What do we see in that? Well, we see our ark is Christ, clearly. Christ is our ark. Christ is the one who has endured the judgment of God for our sins that we deserve to pay for, that we deserve to receive ourselves, just as those of this earth received the flood judgment in the deluge. Well, this is a picture of salvation by Christ, our ark. We need to be in Christ before the flood comes. We need to be in Christ. There's coming a day when it'll be too late. But we need to be in Christ Jesus before the flood comes, before the wrath of God comes on us for our sins. If we're in Christ, the judgment of God has come upon Christ such that it doesn't hit us. We're in the ark. We're sealed up in the ark. God has sealed us in Christ Jesus. We are there until the day of redemption. We are in Christ Jesus, in the sense of our standing with God. We have a right standing with God. We've been forgiven of our sins, and the judgment of God and the wrath of God has been passed from off of us. But it went on Christ. It went on the ark. It went on Christ, and He endured it for us. And as He endured it for us, He didn't have to go down into the midst of the water in order to, in the midst of the wrath of God, in order to endure it for us. He Himself bore our sins on the cross, and He endured it, and He took upon Himself the death of the cross, that we might be right with God, that we might be delivered, that we might be saved from our sins. God's wrath came upon our Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we might be delivered from sin. Again, what is Peter saying, though, about suffering and the suffering believer? What's he saying here? we go back and we say, God himself is spoken of as having been long-suffering and waiting as it pertains to the disobedient of Noah's day. What's Peter saying about the suffering believer? Well, we should be long-suffering and wait. When things don't seem to be going our way, we need to be long-suffering. We need to wait. When people mistreat us, we need to be long-suffering. We need to wait. We need to wait upon God. Wait upon the Lord. It isn't for us to cast our judgment upon men. It isn't upon us to display a retribution upon men personally, a vindiction upon men. It is not in us to exercise vengeance upon others. Rather, the Lord would have us to wait. The Lord would have us as his people. Now, there is times where, Romans 13, where that there is an appropriate institution for the execution of justice in this world, and that is human government. But as it pertains to people, individuals, we're not to bring vengeance upon others. And so we find that what the Lord would have us to do is to be the same as he is. Long-suffering. Waiting. Things don't go your way. We're to be waiting when things don't seem to be going our way. It's back to Psalm 46:10 and what Psalm 46:10 teaches. Again, a verse of scripture that I have grown to love more and more as I've grown to understand how that God would have us as his people not to just correct and right all the wrongs of this world, but rather to be a people who reflect his grace, his love, his mercy toward men. And in one sense of the word, what that means is be long-suffering and wait. And Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And I believe as we look at this passage, we find an example of that. And Lord willing, next week we'll get into the 21st and 22nd verse here that teaches something else. It teaches something else about this ark and what it exemplified, and that it's a like figure. It's a figure, a picture of Jesus Christ, as is another kind of an institution. So look at this passage, and we find the subject of the long suffering of God, and how that one day, how that long, long ago, he waited, and the long suffering of God waited during the days of Noah. And then those days where the just few were saved, so many were disobedient. So many were doing that which is contrary to God's will. And we as God's people experienced that. And the folks that Peter was dealing with were experiencing times in which they thought things were out of hand, and they thought, perhaps they thought, that there was something they could do to correct the wrong when the Word of God is telling them, hey, you know what you need to do? Sometimes it's good to suffer. Sometimes it's good to endure. Sometimes it's good to be long-suffering and to wait. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us, the opportunity again to turn in your Word and look at things, Lord, that you've taught, that you teach us. And we just pray that your Spirit might lead and direct us, and Lord, that we might give to you the glory that's due to your name, and that Christ Jesus and the cross would be that which we as a people of God would glory in, and that we would rejoice in the fact that Christ Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. We thank you for having delivered us from the judgment by enduring the judgment yourself for us that we would be saved. It is in Jesus' name and for his glory we pray. Pray, Lord, also for those that are going through very difficult times right now with the coronavirus, and some, Lord, who are suffering with it now, that you might give grace, that you might give deliverance, that you might give healing to those who need it. And Lord, we pray as well that you might bless in the obtaining of a cure. And we just pray that you might bless and you might provide a cure for this and a good treatment for it, Lord, for those who wait. And we just ask your blessings upon those, Lord, who've lost loved ones, as many have, and pray for your comfort to be upon them. And we pray, Lord, that you just work everything out to your glory. But Lord, we do pray for your mercy and for your goodness at this time, that you might deliver us from this awful plague that has hit the world, this pandemic that we have before us. And we pray that you might bless the folk, Lord, in our country, and the friends and neighbors round about us, that they would take seriously the warnings, that they would take seriously the need to protect themselves and to protect others, and not to be careless in the way they deal with this. And we just pray for your blessings. Help us, Lord, to do the things that are practical and that are right, and help us depend on you and lean on you, Lord, as our only and all-sufficient provider. We'll give you the honor and the glory for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.